Wednesday morning, time for our weekly visit with Freddie P. from CanadianThinker.com. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, fellas.
How are we today?
Very good.
I want to start off, Fred, with an interesting article you have on CanadianThinker.com about Manhattan and the bomb threat in Times Square. My son, along with a whole bunch of his classmates from St. Anne's in Bell River, are currently on a bus and making their way to New York City for a four-day trip. And we were at a meeting on Monday night just to kind of discuss the last-minute details. And a lot of parents, not, you know, I don't know, maybe half a dozen out of the 80 or so kids that are going on this trip, had some concerns about sending their kids to Times Square. And I thought, that's a little over the top.
I don't know, though. I'd have to be in that position to really assess it, because I'll be honest with you, I've been planning a trip to New York City this summer, too, and now I'm having reservations. It won't stop me from going. I will go. But I'll tell you, when I'm downtown, especially around Times Square, I'm going to be thinking. Because you know what, Craig and Matt? I can't believe, still, that there hasn't been some kind of a terrorist attack, a car bomb or a suicide bomber in downtown New York since 9/11. Relatively simple to do, you would think. Why hasn't it happened?
I guess the idea of whether it's a car bomb or some sort of terrorist attack is to instill fear in the people that live in that city, in that country, and to somewhat, I guess, hold that over their heads that they can attack at any moment. But it's been so long since 9/11 now that a lot of people have just forgotten about it and then get that quick reminder on Saturday when somebody tries to blow up a car in one of the busiest centers in the world.
Oh, yeah, and it turns out that was the real deal. That thing was ready to go. It was just an amateur job, apparently, and it fizzled out, thank goodness. They nailed the guy who has, he's an American, apparently, with ties to Pakistan, had spent 5 months in Pakistan recently. You just wonder why. Was he being trained? Whatever. I'm just amazed that it hasn't happened. I mean, if that car or that truck, SUV, whatever it was, had blown on Saturday night, it would have been awful, but I wouldn't have been surprised. You look at what happens in Israel and Iraq and Iran and, I guess, Afghanistan, where people strap really amateur or really just gross bombs to their body and walk into areas to kill people to inflict as much damage as possible. I just can't believe in a city of 12 million or whatever Manhattan is and all the nut bars out there and all the conflict that's going on with the United States and the Middle East, that not one person has done that yet. And I don't want to put any ideas in anybody's heads, which of course I'm not, because it wouldn't take me putting that idea in someone's head. I just find it fascinating. To this point, is this the war on terror? Is it working, or is there some other logistic reason why they haven't done it? Are they waiting for the real big one again? I don't know.
You know, I think, Fred, that since 9/11, that actually opened probably the floodgates for many sickos to think, hey, wow, we finally can get to New York City, or we finally can get at America. And I think probably there are a lot of people who are just lying and waiting for their opportunity. I think for a long time, America seemed untouchable. And then when those towers got dropped, the world sickos said, hey, we can get in there. And I think you're right. I think that what happens is time goes by, and like so many things, we forget and we move on and we let our guard down, and they wait for those moments.
I guess it's taken 9 years. I'll tell you, they're patient, because before 9/11, really the biggest attack on America was in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was domestic terrorism. And don't think there isn't a lot of domestic terrorists that have run it through their mind that they'd like to make a statement in the United States.
You make that point on CanadianThinker.com, Fred, that maybe the fear isn't some guy from Iraq or Pakistan, but rather somebody in your own hometown who's disgruntled.
Yeah. So to bring it all the way around, I can see how people would be concerned, especially in Canada, where we're pretty well protected from most of this stuff until now, or, you know, keep our fingers crossed. Yeah, I'd be concerned about sending my kid down to New York City right now.
Well, thanks.
Your kids, for crying out loud.
Thanks, Fred. You're making me panic. My son's on a bus right now to New York City.
Here's, and you know what?
Here's what I said to my wife. I said, look, if he's going to be safe at any time, it's going to be now. Because that threat happened, and now Times Square is, I'm sure, swarming with police officers and security.
Right, but she's a mama, and they are her babies.
Yeah.
And you'll never, ever change that. And I can completely understand why your wife is weirded out. Mine would be, too.
Freddie talking about being weirded out. I was weirded out by that photo of the fella getting into the shower at CanadianThinker.com, and I'm hoping, I believe it's not a photo of you. He looked rather large.
No, not me.
You're CanadianThinker.com covering all sorts of stuff, from bombings in Manhattan to guys and their routines in the shower. Explain, Freddie.
Well, I just another buddy, another old radio buddy of ours, Rick Hodge, used to work at Chum FM, did a piece on his blog about running out of bar soap and having to use shampoo on his body and how weird that was. And then I just came back with, that's all I ever use. I never use a bar soap. I can't stand it. I use a shampoo called Heaven's Gate. And it's sort of an herbal thing that my wife bought me once and I really like. I just lather my hair and then I soap my body with it and I'm fine. I find bar soap, even the stuff like Caress and Camay and all that, you know, 1/4 cold cream and crap that they try and push on, that seems to tighten my skin and make me feel dry, but I lather with shampoo.
And you're at Heaven's Gate, Freddie.
Yeah. Well, that's what one guy said, because I said, you know, I lather my hair and I wash it, and then I do my whole body concentrating on three main areas, my underarms, my fellas, and my hoop. And the guy said, isn't that ironic that Fred uses Heaven's Gate on his hoop?
He makes a good point. Now, Freddie, do you follow a certain path? Like, I, too, use the shampoo on the whole carcass. But I start at the head and work my way down for the grand finale.
Yes.
You, too?
What, your fellas are the last ones?
Fellas in the hoop. You can't go to the hoop and then go back to the head.
Good point. And now I'm second guessing myself, wondering if I have ever done the hoop.
What's
and then
your
put
routine,
Freddie? Oh,
yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
So that's a conscious thing by you, right?
Yeah, shampoo over the head, into the pits, around the boys, and then sometimes back up to the head, but never to the back end till the final. That's my big. Wrap
yeah.
up. That's
my, the finale.
That's my encore.
Yeah. No. Good point.
Yeah.
Jeez, I'm just sitting here wondering how many times I walked out of the house now, having gone hoop to head. Oh.
That's right. You call your wife at home and go, oh, baby, I did it again.
I went hoop to head.
Yeah.
Now, more revelations about the Patterson lifestyle and your wife. This is shocking to me because I've been married going on 17 years. I've known my wife for 20-plus years. And this happens between us all the time.
Right.
I can't believe your wife has never let her bowels drop in front of you.
Well, I hope yours hasn't let her bowels drop in front of you either.
No.
My
it's a game in our bed at night.
Oh, no, I know, but I'm talking about farting. You're making it sound like crapping yourself.
Bowels dropping is a little different than farting, I would think.
Okay, well, let's go there first then. Has your wife moved her bowels in front of you?
No! You mean like be in the washroom while she's sitting going?
Yeah, dropping a number two, a deuce.
No!
Never!
Not even the one.
She's never peed in front of you?
No!
That woman's a saint.
Well, I mean, I think that's my choice. Because if she went to, I'd run out. Because I'm sort of weird that way.
Uh-huh.
But the piece on CanadianThinker.com is about farting. I was listening to yet another radio show, as I enjoy the radio.
Sure.
And a guy on his morning show, how long before it's acceptable to fart in front of your mate? And it got me to thinking, because my wife will be married 30 years in June. We've been together 36 years, and I have never, ever heard her fart, even in bed. Like, even when she's asleep. Haven't heard it. Crazy, eh?
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's impressive.
Well, you know, she's a little thing, and she's quite healthy, and she's not overweight, and watches what she eats.
But she's still got a fart, Freddie.
I know, and this is the thing. When people don't believe me, you know, they say, oh, yeah, when you're not around, she must crank them. Well, maybe she does, but I'll tell you. If it has anything to do with her fart trigger or her ability... Why doesn't she fart in her sleep then?
We all do. I'll bet you any money, every morning when you leave the house, she leans against the kitchen counter and says, thank God he's gone, and then she lets loose.
That's right.
Now, Freddie, are you offended by the no farting, or are you flattered by the no farting?
Oh, no, I'm here and there on it. I mean, I love the woman so much, if she cranked them in front of me, I mean, to the same degree, me cranking them in front of her, I mean, you know, there's a tolerance level, there's a threshold before it becomes sickening. I totally understand that. But seriously, if she dropped the odd bomb, I wouldn't care, but she just doesn't. And, you know, as I say, it's so lopsided because, you know, almost from day one, I did it around her. And
sure.
Still do to this day.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think us boys have no choice but to.
The best ones are in the car, though, right?
Oh,
I'll crank one in the car, and she'll say, did you fart? And I'll say, no, we must be driving by a battery factory or something. That's sulfur.
Well, beautiful, Freddie. Well, we can read about all sorts of things. See, CanadianThinker.com is the place to be, and we will do this next Wednesday.
It's interesting, right? We start with terrorist attacks, and in some ways, my farts have been known to be considered terrorist attacks on the family.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
They live in fear.
Mm-hmm. Loving you, boys.